What's up, dads? Welcome back to another episode of the Fit Dad Club podcast. My name is Jason Barrett, and I'm joined today by guest CJ Flood, who is a client of ours in the past, who you may have heard from. His amazing journey, losing 40 kilos, running ultramarathons, and then trying to run a friggin' ultramarathon a day in November, and just doing crazy shit, so he fits right in. But letting you all know as well that CJ has come on board recently as one of our newest coaches as well. So he's here to help support and guide more fit dads to go through similar journeys to himself that they may be looking at going through, whether they want to get into what I call stupid running. He and Trav obviously have that in common in terms of their very big goals. But I want to introduce CJ to you all and welcome him. You may see him on our Instagram and doing a few things around as well. He's got a few clients that he's working with now and ramping that up too. So CJ, welcome to the show. How are you doing, bro?
Hey, man. Thanks so much for having me back on. It's a little bit different this time, but I'm super excited to be here again. Yep. Really pumped to be part of the team.
Love it, man. Love it. Good to have you on board as well. And I guess as a starting point for everyone, I'd love to have just like a bit of a recap from you on what was your story, I guess, for you, like pre-Fit Dads. What was that journey like for you? Just a bit of a higher level summary for those people who may not have, if you haven't, should go back and listen to it, but who may not have listened
to
it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So for me, I got discharged out of the army, and then I had to have a second knee reconstruction. Basically, that put me flat back on my back on the couch, put on a bunch of weight. I struggled for nearly 10 years trying to get my health and fitness under control. And then I had a pretty eye-opening moment where my my son asked me to come jump on the trampoline with him, but I was so fat that I literally couldn't get on the trampoline without breaking it. So that was a really humiliating and gut-wrenching kind of moment for me, and that kicked my ass into gear. From that moment, even though I'd tried so many different things in the past, I was really just about like, okay, I need to get this under control. Fast forward a few things, I linked up with Trav, started working alongside him, and then, just got a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better, and then got back into running and got back into doing this and got back into doing that, and, over the course of like 12 months, that first 12 months, I lost like 40 kilos, got back into running. The next 12 months, I just went bonkers with it. I was like, how stupid can we go with this? And then, started doing ultramarathons and marathons and things like that on the pretty regular. I just wake up on a Saturday and be like, cool, like, I wonder if I can run a marathon today and just like go and see, which was a bit weird. But then, fast forward to November of last year in 2023, I set out to do 60 kilometers a day every day for, raise money for men's mental health, which was amazing. I had a great time. I blew up my foot, completely, injured myself and everything that was to be expected. And here we are like some months later, and I'm still recovering. But it was everything that I wanted, and that whole process has just been a process of me finding myself, really finding that deep desire and passion to work with dads. Coming from a kind of typically a business consulting round, I naturally gravitated towards working with other guys that I related to as well. Now adding this kind of like whole health side of things in as well. So it's just really been super fun.
Yeah, no, I love that, man. And I love that there's obviously a lot of crossover with in terms of from a macro perspective, looking at the business consulting world and working with guys. It's a lot of, all right, what's not working at the moment? What is working? Let's double down on what's working and let's fix what's not.
Exactly.
And let's maybe it's KFC. That's what we need to stop. What was that little spark moment for you? Where like, yeah, you know what? I really want to help other dads do the stuff that I've done.
I guess really it was just that, like, sitting back and looking at how much my life has changed. It was September of 2021 that I first started working with Trav, and in the space of 2 years, like, everything changed for me. I lost a bunch of weight. Yeah, I got fitter, but like my relationship with my kids got better. My relationship with my wife got better. I made more friggin' money than ever before. I became a lot more confident in myself. There was literally no area in my life that didn't get better. And I was like, weird. So I started kind of like applying this same sort of like, shine the spotlight on the weakest link sort of thing to my consulting clients, and oftentimes it was health. And, you know, I was steering them towards other experts and other, you know, people, you know, such as Fit Dads Club and stuff like that, to get that better. And again, they'd get their health under control, and then everything else would get better. So it's just like, well, if we want the most bang for, you know, bang for buck when it comes to effort, really focusing on your health literally makes everything in your life better. So that was just the real eye-opener for me. And I was like, righto, well, like, if I really want to, you know, continue working with people and help them, like, let's go down this path and kind of tweak things a little bit. So yeah, that was it.
Yeah, no, I really like that. And I think that it is so true that if you can get your health under control and your health as a priority, it increases your capacity, right? So a lot of people will focus on, I want to maximize, let's say I'm at 60% capacity because, you know, a bit overweight, I'm not eating the best food, I'm not sleeping as well as I could. You've got 60% capacity to dedicate towards, you know, whatever activities you're doing, whether it's your work, your family, whatever. All right. But if you took 30% of that capacity and you dedicated it towards your health, then you've got 100 capacity total. You might then have 70 left over to then you can, oh my God, I can do more and I can do my health. So increasing people's capacity and their ability to perform. One of my guys, Dwayne, he, shout out to Dwayne, lost 3.1 kilos in a week in his first week. And he was like, I've actually got more energy at work now as well. And people are telling me to slow down and shut up because I've got so much going on. And I'm like, that's a very common side effect of focusing on your health and of losing weight and getting fitter and getting more energy and all of that good stuff. So, no, I think that's a great reason to get on board and to start with that. So,
100%.
No, I love that a lot. Yeah. The biggest thing for me, I guess, when I first came on board was, you know, we've got guys that are struggling, that need that little bit of guidance, that little bit of a kick up the ass, that just are wanting to do it and have wanted to do it for a while, but they haven't really had that moment. So if there are guys who are out there who were in the position that you started off in, because a lot of coaching and a lot of you know, sharing with other people often comes from our own experiences to start with. There's obviously, you know, the methods, which are fairly straightforward. We've talked about them time and time again, and you know them off by heart. But there's also the element of, you know, everyone's reason why is similar but not the same in terms of getting into health and fitness. So for those guys that are struggling with that first step and be like, oh, take that first commitment, because I know your first steps were quite small. No, you know, there were 5,000 steps a day or so. That was the goal, right? That was the stretch goal. What would you say to those guys out there that are in that position?
For me, so like I spent 10 years getting fatter and fatter and trying to lose weight in every conceivable way possible, or the better part of 10 years. And the when I started working with Trav, and the thing that majorly shifted is I stopped going like, oh, I need to be doing this, or I need to be in the gym this amount, or I need to be working out this much, or I need to be like, and I let go of all that, and I was like, where am I at right now, and what would be a win for me today? And that's where it started. Like, you know, even like the first week, hitting 5,000 steps every day for 7 days in a row was the major goal for the week. Like, that was massive. And then to go and repeat that again, and then we moved it up 500 steps, and then moved it up another 500 steps, and then moved it up. And it's just like understanding that wherever you are, it doesn't matter what you think you need to be doing, or you think you need to be doing, you know, 10,000 steps. I found, like, for myself, I would always go too hard too soon and burn out. And it's this understanding that health and fitness is like, it's simple corrections, simple things done consistently. Time is the great equalizer here. Like, if you can do the simple things day in and day out, you will get fitter and healthier. But you've got to be able to understand what they are and where you're at. You know, everyone's going to be a little bit different. And that's the whole thing with Fit Dads Club. It's like, we tailor the program to where each guy's at. You know, a guy that's 160 kilos is going to be in a very different boat to a guy that's 95 kilos who wants to actually put on 5 kilos of muscle. Like, they're two very different scenarios. Somebody that's doing FIFO work is going to be in a different boat to somebody that's working from home. Somebody that's got, you know, separated and has their kids, you know, every second weekend is going to be it's like, these things matter. And it's like taking those things into consideration. So it's just like, actually be nice to yourself and be like, what's the win that I can get today? And maybe that's just as simple as, you know, getting some steps in, getting some consistency in, And that's what it was for me. And I think that's where most people struggle, because they're like, I've got my guys now, like, with my guys at the moment, I've got a couple that have really taken off. And, I've got like one guy that's down like 5 kilos in 10 days. He's just absolutely crushing it. And then all of a sudden he feels like he's not doing well enough because it slows down a little bit. He's like, no, whoa, hang on a sec there, bud. Like, how long did it take to put that 5 kilos on? Like, the fact that we've dropped all that really quickly is just a sign that like your body's trying to get rid of it. So like the fact is we're only looking for these small incremental changes for sustainability purposes. So just being mindful of that sort of stuff, I think, is really, really important. And it's just not spoken about often enough, like out in the larger, marketplace of fitness influencers and this and that. And it's like, everyone's telling you what you should and shouldn't do, but like no one's telling you like where to start from, if that makes sense. And that was the big eye-opening moment for myself anyway, was to realize that being okay with hitting 5,000 steps is a good thing. Like that can be a win, and take the wins. If you win more days than you lose, like you'll get success. And that's really what it came down to.
Yeah, it is all about your constraints, right? Your current circumstances, your current constraints. If you can take those into account and you can set your expectations adequately, which I think is kind of the other flip side of that coin, is you've got to know what your current constraints are, and you've got to set your expectations to know. And this is what we do, is we tell all the guys, right? You're starting off anywhere between 0.5 and 1.5% of body weight a week, averaging around sort of 1%. If you're dropping down below that 0.5%, probably need to change things up. If it's above 1.5%, it's probably water weight. But also either that or you're friggin' starving yourself, or you chopped off an arm or did something drastic. So, and not recommended because you don't want to lose too much muscle. So as much as we can set those expectations, you have to emotionally, when you're starting this journey, be okay with those expectations. And as CJ's saying, all right, let's look at the big picture here. Let's say I only lost 800 grams this week. Let's say like I'm 120 kilos, I lost 800 grams. It's still well within. That's almost 1%, right? 400 grams off 1%. And weight is a very fickle measurement, but it's one of the best, most consistent ones that we have available to us, right? Unless you're getting a friggin' DEXA scan daily, which I wouldn't recommend. The goal is going to be to continue to lose at that rate, ideally, and look at the bigger picture. It's like, oh, over 10 weeks, that's 8 kilos. All of a sudden, that doesn't seem like much, right? 10 weeks can go by pretty bloody quickly. Think about the school term. All of a sudden, it's from school holidays again, right? that 10, 12 weeks, that passes real quick. So that's 8 kilos. Over 20 weeks, that's 16 kilos. Oh, all of a sudden, it doesn't seem like such a small amount. But when you stay so zoomed in and so focused on the short term, you can lose sight of the bigger picture. And I would say that, I would argue that that is one of the best roles of a coach in any area, regardless of the area of fitness. A good coach, and I used to train coaches, this used to be what I do for a living, a great coach will just help you with perspective and help you see the forest for the trees, and know that, okay, cool, that is a forest. I'm not just focusing on trees here. Let's focus and chunk up into the bigger picture and go, what am I doing? What is the big long-term focus here? And in context, is this okay? So you've got to be okay without that. I would say for a lot of people, that dopamine of, I dropped 2 kilos in a day, or it's constantly going down every single day, because there's got to be times when you are not losing as much weight as you'd like, or you might not even lose weight in the week, or you might gain a little bit on a fluctuation or whatever, and you gain like a kilo overnight, and you're like, oh, what the fuck? You've got to be mentally prepared for these setbacks. And I'd love it if you can, CJ, as well, for you, talk about what are some of the setbacks that you potentially faced over your journey, and how did you overcome them? And what can we extrapolate from that to help other guys anticipate that there's going to be hard times, there's going to be setbacks, and how do we sort of pivot around that?
Yeah, for sure, man. And like, hit the nail on the head. Things change. Like, the person that you are when you start a weight loss or a transformation journey is not the same person that you ended. So like, it would be crazy to think that things wouldn't change, right? So for me, when I first started, it actually took me like probably about 10 days to really gain some momentum. And I was pretty disciplined, but it, like, there was just some behaviors that I had to change. Like, I had to get used to tracking stuff. I had to understand what things were going. Where's protein coming from? How much does this protein have? Well, turns out, having, too much mayo on my chicken snitty gives me, a whole heap of fat, like, and throws out my calorie. So, like, there was all these weird little learning things that I had to find along the way in that first kind of, like, couple of weeks. But then after that, I was like, great, now I'm on it. I'm on the path and I'm moving forward. And it started to come off really, really quickly. And I knew that, okay, great. If I did all the things right, I would have hit between here and here. You know, again, between that 0.5 and 1.5%, you know, weight loss each week. But then what started happening was I started to come into like the festive season. So like I started in September of 21, we came into the festive season. I was like, crap, how do I handle this? You know, my birthday's right before Christmas. We got Christmas in there. We've got more birthdays in December and January in my family than literally the rest of the year. So like we're always out and doing stuff and like the whole, it was just madness, right? And I'm like, how do I get through this? So it was just like this whole preparation about getting through it. And then I was like, oh, well, I need to make some changes. Great. I'm going to go out to dinner on this night, which means I might be a little bit more restricted on these 2 days, save up my calories. And like slowly over time, I could learn these different strategies to really just, you know, be flexible enough to stay sustainable on the transformation itself. Really, really big plateau, you know, for a couple of weeks there. And I was really struggling to continue that weight loss journey. And I was talking to Trav and he was like, dude, we just got to change things up. Like you've been losing anywhere between a kilo and a half to 2 kilos a week for like the last 12 weeks. Like, let's just change some things up. So then I went up in calories and I'm like, mate, I called him halfway through the week. I'm like, this is too much food. I can't eat this. And he's like, no, you need to push through just this week. Just push through. We pushed through that week. And then we came out the other side and we changed up some strategies. We introduced some fasting and some things like that. So like things change, right? And I think you need to be open to listening to whoever's coaching you and going like, okay, there's a reason why this is happening. For me and my guys, like I'm in there checking the back end of their Keystone app, like, you know, twice a week. Are you still moving forward? Are you still doing your... And I'll send them text like, hey, why haven't you done a weigh-in in the last 3 days? What's going on? And I got a message back from one of my guys and he's like, oh, you know, I've had my family visiting, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, great. Your family visiting is not an excuse to all of a sudden stop wanting to get fit and healthy. And he's like, yeah, you're right. Thanks, man. And like, and off he goes again. And it's just like that whole understanding that your coach is a partner that works alongside of you. And, you know, is essentially, it can be the bad cop to your good cop, but that's what they're there for. And they are there to help you through that process and be okay with things changing. Don't, whatever you think weight loss transformation journey will be like, it's never that. It's never that. It's always changes. It's always different. You know, things happen, kids, life, jobs, all of it. So many things. And you just need to be flexible to work around it.
Yeah, I think a big one is having a contingency plan for the unknown. As you said, yes. It's like, I don't know what Christmas is going to be like or how I'm going to do it. So my contingency plan is I reach out to my coach. I speak to them. Yeah. They help me put in place a game plan. And yeah. I trust the trusted advisor, so to speak. The reason why you have a coach in the first place is to check in and say, hey, am I doing the right thing? A lot of guys get started with us because they don't know if what they're doing is working or is the right thing, because there is so much noise out there and there's so much, oh, you should do keto, you should do carnivore, you should fucking run, you should walk, you should only do CrossFit. Like there's plenty of
ways. Your ass to the sun, sunrise, and like, exactly. Oh, there's some weird shit out there, man.
It's just, you just this breathe, you know? I mean, the just breathing one works, but you can, you know, you lose weight until you die. It's great. Yeah. 3 days later. So when it comes to anticipating challenges, there will be challenges that you can anticipate. You can know, and you've got to kind of be honest with yourself. If you've never managed to like muscle through and willpower your way past drinking on the weekend, or if, you know, oh, every Friday night, me and the boys go down to the pub and we have a beer and we have a burger or whatever. If you've never managed to say no to the extra beers, don't all of a sudden think, oh, I'm just going to fucking start saying no to them. You've got to be realistic in your capacity. And I was speaking to a client yesterday who was like, oh, we're getting started with some with walking. We're going to commit to walking 6 days a week, getting steps in, going for a walk. It doesn't have to be, you know, 10Ks. It doesn't have to be 5,000 steps. It's just like a walk. And that's enough to start getting people momentum, because all you need is that first lap of the block. And then, cool, if you're that tired or that pressed for time, then you can stop. Yeah. You can at least say, I did it, right? I ticked the box. However, once you get started, more often than not, you'll be like, oh, I could go for a bit more. I could go for another lap. I could go a bit further, because Emotion is energy in motion. Once you start moving, yes, you create the energy within yourself. Humans are generators. We're not batteries. We create the energy by moving. So yes, I was saying, let's just focus in on that and get that done. And let's have that be the key thing that we work on, and just, you know, and checking in on our progress, because I was speaking to another client just before who was stoked with the results he was getting. He's like, I'm more motivated now that I know I'm getting the results. I'm like, yeah, that's why we check in on the weights, is we want to make sure we know we're moving forward. Otherwise, we just feel like we're spinning our wheels. And then you get the questions about, oh, but then what about this food or that food? It's like, let's not overcomplicate this. Let's focus on the stuff that will get us the results. Is there anything that you think will be stopping you from getting that result, from managing to fit this into your diary? And if someone says the words like, oh, I'll try, I'm like, okay, cool. Well, you know, like Yoda says, do or do not. There is no try. We're not trying to get the steps in. It's either you can commit to it or you don't. But you've got to be real about what your constraints are. One of them was like, oh, but isn't running the better, or shouldn't I do like more aerobic exercise and this and that? I'm like, right now you're doing fucking nothing. Let's not go from doing fucking nothing to 3 workouts a week and 2 aerobic sessions and a cut. Let's just walk the dog, right? The dog deserves it. Fucking walk the dog, right? If you haven't got a dog, get a dog so you have something that you're forced to walk. Otherwise it looks at you with guilt and you feel guilty, then you have to do it. But having real awareness of what is your willpower like? What is your capacity like to actually start to execute on the shit you need to do? What is your willpower like for saying no to shit you know you need to say no to? And as a result, don't put yourselves in those environments. Don't go to the pub. Just say, look, I've just got to stick away for a week because, you know, I'm not good at controlling myself in those environments. I tend to have too many, and I either need you guys' support to fucking help me and order for me and say he's going to have a Diet Coke, or I need to not be there. And that's the decision you have to make, and that's the awareness you have to have. As Trav says, he knows he has no control around Tim Tams. So that if they have them in the house, they're in the fridge because he doesn't like them cold. Which, to be fair, you have them in the pantry in Tasmania, they'll be cold anyway.
Yeah, I know. So, I was going to say, the pantry is the fridge down there.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. So in WA and Queensland, it's a different story. In the pantry, you get Tim Tam soup. but you've got to know and be realistic with your expectations, because if you set yourself these big lofty goals initially and you don't really give credence to the fact that, hey, I've got reasons why I haven't made this happen in the past, you've got to own that. And you're going to say, these are reasons why I haven't made it happen. These are, you know, you can say excuses, you can like 100%, but you can also say some of them were real, you know, real challenges for me, and I struggled to get by them. And so as a result, you've got to know that they're coming up rather than ignore them, close your eyes and just pray they go away by the time you get there, because then they come up and you're like, fuck, I've got no plan for this. So always have that contingency plan, and your contingency plan should be to speak to someone, to speak to your coach, to speak to whoever you've told your goals about, to whoever you've told about your goals, to remind you, hey, this is why you're doing it. You can do this. Like, all you need to do is a couple of things. It's just one day. It's just a weekend. Like, it doesn't have to be a big thing.
Yeah, 100%, man. And like that ruthless inspection of what is going on in your life is a critical skill that you need to build so that you can, because like there's no point just losing weight and then stacking it back on. Like, and this is what I say to my guys, is like, when I'm like, look, mate, you can lose weight super quickly. Like, there's a million and one different ways to go about that. But you're just going to stack it back on if you don't learn how to, like, change your behavior, change your identity, change your habits through this process. And that's where we really kind of like come to the forefront as like specialists around not just weight loss, but the behaviors and the habits and the identity behind that stuff. And understanding that that is a massive motivator, you know, for guys to continue working past that initial little bit of success. I know for me, like, so I was a dirty, filthy smoker back in the day. And when I finally gave up the diaries and, you know, decided that that was no longer something that I needed in my life, I had to give up coffee. I had to give up alcohol. I had to give up fast food, because every time I had those things, I couldn't drive in the car with my window down because it would cue me to want to smoke. So it was like these little things around my environment cued me to have a behavior. So like, our environment controls so much of what we want to do. So just as Trav's saying, like, he doesn't like Tim Tams cold, so he puts them in the fridge. You know, I don't like, you know, I don't keep alcohol in the house. because there's no point. Like, I'm not going to drink. If I'm going to drink, I'll go out and buy alcohol because it'd be for an occasion. You know, so it's like controlling these, I guess you would almost call them like risk factors, you know, for you to have these blowout moments is a really important skill. And you can only get that by sitting back and going, okay, what's going on? Where are some things that could potentially jump out at me, you know, that I need to make sure that I have a plan in place. I had a guy yesterday, he's just come on board with us. He goes away to Bali in 10 days. And I was like, righto, mate, here's the deal. You've got 10 days to get down pat how you're going to handle what we do when you're in Bali. You know, you're going to go away because we want you to be able to go. We want you to have a good life and enjoy things. But like when you're away, that doesn't mean you need to be drinking, you know, cocktails in the pool bar at 10 a.m. You know, like it doesn't mean that you need to be eating, you know, four serves of bloody sweet potato fries and aioli every day. Like, there is control factors here, you know, and so we just spoke a little bit about that. We started putting some things in place, continue to work on a plan. And it's like, great. And he's already, by the end of that call, he's like, man, I feel so ready to go away without, you know, blowing out and getting, you know, going backwards. And it's just that inspection of what's going on. And if you don't do that, you are going to have a really tough time. You know, and it's going to be yo-yos. It's just yo-yos and it's never fun. And eventually you fall off the bandwagon and you just give up. And yeah, I've been there. I was there before I started working with Trav, and that is not a fun place to be because there is nowhere but down or up in terms of the scale anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a bad place to be, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, you live your life by the default or by design. And if you're not the one taking charge of what you do and when you do it and how you do it, or reaching out to someone to help you do that, then you're living your life by default and you're just kind of, oh, we'll see what we do on the day. Oh, we're going to be drinking bintangs all day. Oh, you know, that's what we're doing, right? And I've been disappointed the more I've been in this space by going out. I remember when I was in Singapore a couple months ago, we were playing with Emmy in the little kids pool and she was splashing around having a great time, and me and my wife were both, you know, in there and playing with her, and she absolutely loved it, right? Just having present parents was so important to her. And there was another little boy who was playing in the pool, and his dad was sitting down drinking beers at like 9 a.m. watching him. And just like from the chair, like sitting on the chair, watching him play, he was trying to like splash him and like get his attention a bit. And just like dad was drinking beer. And I was just like, regardless of your perspective on like, should I drink, not drink, losing weight, is getting fit. If you're not, a goal isn't to be the fittest guy in the world. You know, I don't really fucking care. That's all good. But as a parent, like I understand we all need a break. But I want to kind of drill this down, like down your throats. Alcohol is not a fucking break. Like alcohol is not, it's not a relaxant, right? I could even get on board with on an evening, if you're having a hard time winding down and you smoke a little bit of weed, I don't give a fuck, right? Oh yeah, I'm a little bit of weed, right, cool. I wouldn't make a habit out of it because of the, you know, you get the munchies and you slow down, and there's some evidence showing some lung stuff going on with it too. It's not something I'd recommend for everybody, but like no judgment, but like alcohol is not a fucking relaxant. It's not something that, it's something that can distract you from the shit in your life. And guess what? The best phrase I've heard about it is it's borrowing happiness from tomorrow. It's you're mm-hmm. hiding from shit. You're not really controlling your life. You're hiding from it. You're running from the stuff that you maybe have to deal with. And it's a convenient way out. It's a convenient social lubricant, so you don't have to think about, you know, am I good enough? Am I fucking, you know, too annoying or too loud or whatever? It's like, Just a random tangent I feel like I need to go on is like, it doesn't have to be that way, but stop using fucking alcohol as your crutch for whether it's social things, whether it's to quote unquote relax, because that's bullshit, right? You want to relax, go to bed earlier, right? Go for a walk, get some fresh air.
Work out,
meditate, focus on the shit that isn't going as well as you'd like in your life, and think about how can I start to turn this around. There's a lot that that it would be important. It's important for a lot of guys to hear. And for me, that alcohol one is a big one. It's not, oh yeah, it fucking helps me wind down. No, it helps you switch your brain off for a little bit. And then guess what? The problems that you needed to wind down from are not gone, right? You got to find better ways to deal with that shit. You got to find better ways to deal with stressful situations. Otherwise, all you're doing is you're teaching your kids. You want your kids to be alcoholics? Do you want your kids to deal with stress by responding with alcohol? That's what you teach them to do. You teach them that, hey, when you're on holiday, you drink. No, when you're on holiday, you have fun with your family. You spend time together, right? You go see the sights. You go for hikes. You go for walks. Like, you got to change that narrative. But all of that starts with a plan. And that plan has to be, this is like, even if it's, I'm not going to drink before fucking 2 p.m., right? That might be a big goal for some people to start with. And as CJ said in the beginning, it's all about your constraints and your current situation. Because if you go from binge drinking every holiday to completely abstinence, that's a big step to take. So it might just be, I'm not going to day drink, right? Or I'm only going to have alcohol with my meals. That might be the change that you make, right? And that is still a step forward. And I think there's a quote that I love, which is, people don't appreciate when bad things don't happen. So if everyone appreciates when a good thing happens, but it's like, oh, a bad thing didn't happen, everyone's kind of disappointed, or, oh, it doesn't really care. It's like, hey, CJ, congratulations for still not gaining weight, right? No one's saying that. It's only if you lose the weight that people then start to clap for you, right? So if you've got a situation where you're going away and then you come back and you're the same weight, call that a fucking win. Right, I say that to my guys all the time. If you've been MIA for a couple of weeks and then you're like, oh, I'm back on, I had a few stressful things happening, and you're at the same weight, I'm like, cool, guess what? We learned how to maintain. We didn't go backwards. That's a really good skill to have. If you know how to maintain, you'll never put the weight back on again. But too many people see that as a failure because they're like, oh, but I'm trying to lose weight. I'm like, yeah, but the last 4 weeks you weren't trying. The last 4 weeks you were busy and doing all sorts of other shit. So appreciate that when bad things don't happen, and know that just because you're not progressing doesn't mean you're going backwards.
Yeah, 100%. And I think too, man, like, it's important that we kind of like understand why guys start this journey. Every guy that I talk to, I'm like, hey, mate, why do you want to do this? And they're like, oh, you know, I'm just really not happy with where I'm at. I want to be better for my kids, you know, and I'd really like to turn things around. And I'm like, okay, that's great. But like, let's dig a little bit deeper. Like, what's really going on? Essentially, it's just people wanting to be the best version of themselves for their kids, so their kids can, you know, raise the standard above them again. Like, just like, you know, you've likely done to your parents. You know, for me, my parents, I love my parents. They're great. They're amazing. Taught me so much. So grateful to have them as my mom and my dad. Chronic alcoholics. That my entire life, I was like, hard pass. So now, like, for me, it's really easy to pass up on drinking, because I saw how much they missed out on as I was growing up. Now, like, for my kids, I get to do the same. But it's not about, like, drinking or not drinking. It's about understanding that health and fitness is about becoming a better person. It's about being more present. It's about being more capable, having a greater capacity. You know, how cool is it when you can literally pick your kid up, throw them on your shoulders, and go on that hike, and you go up to this lookout, and you're sitting there with your wife, and she's got this amazing smile on her face, and you take this selfie, and your kid's been whinging for an hour and a half, but like, it's fine. And you get to look back and you're like, wow, we made that memory. That wouldn't have been possible if you're sitting by the pool drinking Bing Tangs at 9 a.m. Do you know what I mean? And it's like that understanding that there is, like, one part of it is to lose weight, but losing weight, I think, is really just a metaphor to being a better person, being the more of the person we want to be, which is, you know, stronger, fitter, healthier, more capable, and understanding that as we move closer to that, we become more aligned with who we are. And that's why I think, like, you know, as we said right back at the start, every aspect of your life gets better, because it's like you just become better in general. And that's the really cool thing about it. But in amongst all that, you should still be able to enjoy it. Again, I went away on a boys trip and it was disgusting. It was horrible how over the top it was, but I knew it was going to be that way. And I had the plan and I put down the plan. I had, you know, 2 weeks leading up to it getting ready. I made sure I got all my steps in. I still managed, for me, the minimum standard while we were away was I had to run every day. So I literally went for a 2K run after getting 2 hours sleep before we got on a boat at, you know, 6:30 in the morning and, you know, not feeling the most healthy I've ever felt. But like, that was part of it. And it's just understanding that it goes both ways. It's never like, you know, don't have alcohol. It's never don't do this. It's about balancing things out and being sustainable, you know, and progressing towards, where you ultimately want to reach in a sustainable, even keeled way, I think is probably the best way to put it. Because like you can go yo-yo all day. Like I know heaps of people. One of my clients had a gastric band surgery. Had to pay for it out of their own pocket. 25, 30 grand. This is like 7 years ago. And like pay for it out of their own pocket. Lost a whole heap of weight. Gained some massive momentum towards where they ultimately wanted to be. And then eventually, because they didn't change the habits, the behaviors, the emotions behind things, they started to put the weight back on. And now they're back having to work with me, and we're back to like, righto, let's start by doing the simple things. Let's go for a walk. Get out and walk your damn dog, and like, it's just that understanding that that even keeled approach over a longer period of time is always, always more sustainable and always yields better fruit than the yo-yo approach.
Yeah, it can be. I know it can be disheartening when you've got events and you've got things in the middle of a bigger journey. Maybe you've got 20, 30, 40 kilos to lose and you've got a longer path ahead of you. And it over time, it'll feel like a mountain when you're about to come to it. But over the course of your entire journey in context, right, looking up at the bigger picture, it'll just seem like a speed bump. It'll seem like a little thing that you managed to overcome. Even if you gain a little bit of weight in that, okay, cool. In the context of my entire journey, doesn't have to be as big of a deal as it's being made out to be. And then once you get, and the key is that once you get down to, a good place, and you will eventually get there. Like as CJ said, like time is the big, it's the big equalizer. That's the thing that's going to, over time, you're either going to get the result by the end of the day or you're not. And it's all going to come down to, were you consistent with your actions over time? All it takes is time, right? Time, bit of patience, and you will get there. If you quit doing the actions, of course, you're not going to fucking get there. But you just need to give yourself the time to reach the goal. And from time to time, the right plan and the right pivot and the right strategy. So if you do have those things in place, you will eventually get there. And once you get there, going on holiday isn't as big of a deal because you're going to come back down to the baseline of a plan that is good for your maintenance. Let's say you're maintaining an 80, 85, 90 kilos, whatever it ends up being. You've got a plan for that and you've got a lifestyle that maintains you there. So you don't actually really have to think about it when you get back. You just get back into your old routine. When you haven't developed those habits yet and you haven't set that baseline, that minimum standard, as CJ was talking about, it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder without a minimum standard. So I recommend that everyone, for every period of your life, have a minimum standard for, I mean, you have the minimum, you should have that minimum standard for multiple areas. In your relationship, at least saying one loving thing to your wife per day, right? That's a pretty good minimum standard to have. Like, what, pay her at least one compliment a day. That is a good minimum standard to have for a productive marriage. Trust me, I would recommend everyone start doing that. Think about the last time you genuinely complimented your wife, other than, oh, you look nice, or, dinner was good. That doesn't fucking count. But have a minimum standard that allows you to maintain. And potentially for some areas of life progress, there are times when fitness isn't going to be your priority. Like CJ saying, all right, my minimum standard, I'm going to run 2Ks, right? When we were on holiday down south with Lauren's parents, I was like, my minimum standard is I want to work out like vigorously twice over the course of these 6 days, right? And I did one like 3-4K run in like 38 degrees, which I didn't recommend, but felt good afterwards. And I did one bodyweight workout and I was happy with that. And then I just set my meal plan where I was eating the same things for all my meals. And it was easy, right? We'd set that minimum standard, which kind of goes to what I spoke about last week in terms of simplifying your fitness and getting really clear on like making no-brainer decisions and no-brainer plans. But yeah, I agree that minimum standard is absolutely key for dads to not blow out over those times.
It doesn't have to be super high either.
That's so why it's called minimum, not maximum.
Yeah, exactly. Like we were talking before, like where my first step goal was like 5,000 steps and then we increased it by 500. I got that to 8,500 steps and that's where it stayed and that's where it's still at. So I kept it at 8,500 steps because that's my minimum standard. Now, when you're training to run 60K a day for 30 days, you typically go past that pretty much. But that was my minimum standard. And when I, was like going through that, it was like, that's still a win. That's still a win. It wasn't about, oh yeah, great. You went and ran 60Ks today or you went and did this. It was like, great. Met the minimum standard. And I just tick it off time and time again. And even after that time in November, when I was injured and I had to readjust my minimum standard because it was just I was injured, I needed to recalibrate things. I brought that down from 8,500 to 6,000, and I was like, great, that's my new minimum standard. And I kept hitting that, and I kept going, I kept going, I kept going. Some days I missed it because I just literally was in so much pain I couldn't walk. But like that's the thing is like, great, I have a reason. I have a actual reason as to why I'm not doing something on this day, not why I'm not doing something for this week, but why I'm doing not doing something for this day. And that's that real, it's okay to miss once, but never twice. That's something that I've really bought into. I really make the most of that in my personal life, and for all my guys and in my health and fitness as well. It's just such a critical component of how we can continue to move forward, even after you, continue to progress, even after you may have reached your ideal weight or things like that. You can continue to add things on, get faster, lift more, so on and so forth.
Yeah, it is vital to have goals and to continue to have goals
Yes.
once you've achieved that. Because if human beings, if we don't have goals, we struggle, right? I know that I was kind of a bit aimless after I'd sort of retweaked my back a little bit. I was going to go for a bulk, and then I was like, oh, just kind of hurt my back. I don't really like the idea of just going into the gym and just going for hypertrophy and trying to gain as much muscle as possible. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to get into running. I'm going to get better. I'm going to try and hit a 5K, and then I hit a 5K, and then I hit a 7K. And today I might try and run 10 or 9. I'll see how I go with how many laps I can do before my next calls. But that's been a goal. And then doing this HYROX in September has been another goal that I've been working towards. And all right, that's changed my training and changed my motivation as well. I've started to get more motivated, and I've wanted to move better. It's done more for me in terms of wanting to revitalize my training. And it's not something I normally would have done, and it's something that I could have easily talked myself out of if I didn't have CJ and Trav around to go, nah man, like that sounds good, let's do it. So continue, like the last thing I kind of want to touch on is continue to have goals, continue to set goals. Even if you like you it's not you hit your end weight, now what? You've got to continue to have goals. Otherwise, that's one of the biggest reasons people rebound and they go back up in weight, is they hit their end
Yes.
goal, they like now what they have the now what, and then they don't do anything. Start to work in a different
Yep.
discipline. If you want to gain muscle, let's gain some muscle. If you want to work on your 5K time, we'll work on your 5K time. Like you got to set these little challenges and you've got to set these little goals to continue to keep yourself engaged, right? You've got to find shit that you enjoy. Maybe you try fucking powerlifting. How strong can I get over the next 90 days? Oh, that's awesome. Maybe I'm going to play around with kettlebells. How heavy of a Bulgarian split squat or no, sorry, Turkish get up can I do, right?
Yeah.
All of those things are important. So if you don't have goals, you're going to feel lost, right? You're going to feel like,
Yeah.
Now what? So have some to kind of recap on the conversation we had. Setting a minimum standard. We had anticipating your challenges, right? Leaders anticipate and act, followers hope and react. So anticipating your challenges and creating a plan ahead of time for those. We have making sure you're setting goals and keeping your eye on the bigger picture as opposed to the sort of ground level stuff. Anything else you'd add to anyone listening, CJ?
I just say like exactly what you're talking about there. Like having goals is will keep you moving forward, but it also too allows you to reflect on other things that have worked and continue to compound success. Just this morning, I was out for a run this morning. I haven't been the healthiest. I got a bit of a cold going on, so I was only out for a short run. And this year, I want to get faster in my running. I've been training to run longer. Now I want to get faster. And it was only in the process of when I was out for a run, I realized that while I've been training to run longer, I've really let go on my strength training. As I've started adding more strength training, as we get ready for HYROX, like I was like, oh, when I was at my strongest, I also ran at my fastest. I was like, oh, right, that's what I've been missing, and that's where it's like. So it's just like you can actually start to cross-pollinate these ideas, cross-pollinate success, and continue to build further, faster, and actually compound over the long term. And I think if you really just, keep that in mind, plan for the things to go wrong, have a plan in place, have your minimum standard, and then, consistently show up each and every day and just go out there and keep showing up. Time will be that great equalizer for you again.
I love it. Love it. If you need someone to be in your corner, to help you out with these goals. Obviously, the Fit Dad Club is here. So go to fit-dad.club to book in a call. We can have a chat about where you are right now, what your current constraints are, what are the things that are holding you back, what are the things that you've struggled with, and let's create a plan to help you overcome those. You know, you can work with myself, TJ, CJ. I know I have a J name, but it's like it doesn't end in a J. Like you can't call me JJ. I feel like that's weird. So we'll have to adapt that. Book in, speak to us. We'll have a conversation about that, and then we'll help you move forward. Don't forget to like and subscribe and rate the podcast. Give it 5 stars if you found any of this helpful. And if you have any suggestions for topics or people or dads that you found particularly inspiring that you'd love us to interview or to grab on board and to have a chat with, we'd love to hear that as well. But until next time, that's it from me. Anything from you, CJ?
That's it. Look forward to talking to you guys soon. Be sure to reach out if you need some help and really want to take your health and fitness journey to the next level and get you moving to where you want to go.
All right. Take care, y'all. See you next week.